Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor John Lukomsky. The New Testament reading for today is from Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 12, verse 13. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may also now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God has spoken to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Paul says this about God: how unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. He has certainly been inscrutable in my life. There are things that have happened that make no sense to me. I lost my first wife at an early age. Two of my children suffer from the same inherited disease that took her. I have faced heart surgery, cancer, and the other disabilities of age. Why would God allow such things to happen to a faithful pastor? The devil, of course, comes and assures me it is because of my sinfulness. He's half right. As the text said, God has consigned all to disobedience, so no doubt I am a sinner. But he's wrong when the devil suggests these are punishments for some particular deed, that things would all be better if I had just done something differently. No, these trials reflect not a specific action of mine, but the fact that I am a sinful man living in a sinful world. But while I am a sinner, Paul assures me and in you that God has mercy on all. As it is written, the deliverer will come and take away their sins. And Jesus has come and died and rose again and ascended and forgiven all your sins and mine. We can be sure of this because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, Paul says. So his gifts of baptism, his gift of the Lord's Supper, and his gift of the gospel word are irreversible. As Paul says elsewhere, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. In this knowledge, rather than wrestling with the inscrutable ways of God in our lives, better for us to see in all these things an opportunity to love and be loved with brotherly affection. Our trials are the circumstances to give opportunity to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. It fits with the inscrutable nature of God that while the world thinks what needs to be done is for good people to be better, God would rather take the disobedient and by his mercy make them into a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable because of the gift of forgiveness that cannot be repaid. Believers know this inscrutable way of God actually makes sense. Only those who know their own sin will show compassion on other sinners. When we see anyone caught in transgression, we who are spiritual will restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And if we see our brother sinning, we will go and tell him his fault between us and him alone, not to prove that we are the better man, but in the hope of regaining our fellow sinner, our brother. And so it is the inscrutable way of God to take the disobedient and show them mercy, so that in turn they will contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let us pray. Mighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.